Welcome back to Sports Byline USA, coast to coast, around the world on American Forces Radio Network. And it is our distinct pleasure to welcome actor Walter Koenig. He has a new book called Beaming Up and Getting Off, Life Before and Beyond Star Trek. Walter, to this day, when people say, hey, Chekhov, do you think to yourself, they're still calling me that? Or do you love it or somewhere in between all that?
Well, you know, as a matter of fact, I've gone through that whole retinue of loving it, hating it, and coming to terms with it. Initially, you know, every actor, I think, loves the attention they get for their work. So I was pleased. I was pleased on that basis. Then there came a point when I became a little embarrassed by it all, because the response was disproportionate to my contribution. I felt like, you know, I really didn't contribute that much to the show. And as an actor, you know, you yearn to be challenged and get your teeth into something that you can really be creative with. And then we went dark. You know, we stopped making the series, and we hadn't started making the movie, so that made it even more uncomfortable. It didn't keep me from going to making personal appearances, but I felt awkward that I was receiving this approbation for something that I had contributed in such a limited fashion. And then now that I'm so much older, God, I'm so freaking old, I can't believe it. I have a different point of view. I am a more gestalt attitude about Star Trek. I am very grateful for enabling me to pursue a career that extended beyond Star Trek to some degree, to pursue other creative avenues, stage work and directing and writing. All of that is a consequence, even if it was not specifically related to Star Trek, it was a consequence of my identification with it. So, you know, as I reach this vintage period of my life, I have really almost exclusively good thoughts about having participated and being so well received by the audience.
And that's the thing, too, when you go to these conventions or Comic-Cons or thing, and you're very humble that way, but I'm sure your fan base would say, au contraire, you added so much to the show, where you might think your role was more peripheral. I'm sure your fans would disagree and say you were actually a big, big part of that success.
Yeah, well, I know that, and I'm actually reluctant to say this, because to mention that, because it always sounds like fishing, because the fans will always come back and say, no, you are more important than that. I can only tell you, you know, from my personal vantage point, that all that external success was internally frustrating, because I always felt, hey, if you give me a shot, if you give me a real chance, I can do so much more. And as a fact, matter of fact, I achieved, and I achieved that sense when I moved my segue over to Babylon 5, where each appearance was in a story that where the character was principal to the action, and we got to know him internally. Star Trek was my character, and George's and Michelle's were expositional characters. We were there to promote the story, but not to delve into who we were, not to get a sense of how we responded internally. And I understand all that, and I understand the times, and you can't write for seven people equally. And that was a time when the distribution of the roles of the parts were more focused on individuals than there was on the group. So yeah, so I get all of that, and but you know, ultimately I want to leave this mortal coil with people understanding that I am eternally grateful for Star Trek, and this, you know, and for the opportunities that it gave me, and for the satisfaction that I received, even if it wasn't always unanimously a perfect experience.
Well, Babylon 5, great show for five seasons in the 90s. A couple more questions for Walter Koenig. His new book, Beaming Up and Getting Off, Life Before and Beyond Star Trek. I know you did a memoir called Warp Factors back in the 70s. Is this more about all of those roles you played from, you know, Tom Sawyer and all the different parts you did, the Hitchcock, the New York theater? Is this kind of, you know, encapsulates all the things that you've done?
Oh, yeah. This is it. Well, you know, there might have been one or two explicit sexual experiences that I had before I was married. I have not gone into it. But other than that, this is my whole life. This is from when I was about 4 years old on, with a hefty portion of it involving Star Trek, to be sure, as it was, you know, the dominating element in my career. But yes, it's the whole kit and caboodle. If you don't know me by the time you finish this, then I have failed desperately in my job.
What would be, you know, the charitable work that you have done? Because I know that's so important to you over the years, and you've helped so many people. What was it about you that you said, you know, I gotta give back?
Well, I haven't done as much as I should. The fact of the matter is, because of what happened in the late 40s and the 50s with HUAC, House Un-American Activities Committee, and Joe McCarthy, that was a formative period in my life. It was between 12 and 18 years old. And we were being investigated by the FBI, because my father was a very, he proselytized Marxism in a very outspoken way. He did not trade secrets with the Soviets. He had no, connections with any of that. But he was very active politically. He voted the ALP, the American Labor Party, during that period. So I grew up a little gun shy, and a little concerned that my father's worst fears might actually eventuate, and those were that we were going to be sent off to a camp somewhere. And it was at a juncture where I was impressionable enough to believe that and it could happen. And in fact, as the events evolved, it seemed that they could indeed happen. So I stepped back from all of that. In fact, the very first time I actually did something in a very active manner was Oklahoma City, when I went to visit the kids who had been the victims of the guy who blew up part of the city.
Oh, Timothy McVeigh.
Timothy McVeigh, right? Yeah. And then later on, when I was invited to go to Burma and experience the terrible military, despotic government that ruled the country and made life such a hellhole for so many different groups of people, different religious and political groups. Not that they would know who I was, but the opportunity was there to hold an international press conference and express my experiences on what was the treachery that was being manifest by the military government. That's mostly where, you know, my attention is focused. I like everybody else, I have contributed to causes and on occasion answered phones for the candidates. But mainly that work has really been part of my family. My son was very much into environmental issues, was arrested for it. He went with me to Burma and filmed it, and then because of circumstances involving China at the time, we were trying to, part of the reason I went there was to try to put some pressure on China to help alleviate the situation in Burma. He ended up, on his own volition, standing in front of the Chinese float at Rose Bowl the year we came back, and with a sign that asked them to free Burma. He ended up getting arrested and spent about 6 hours in jail. My wife has been on the phone with government officials for years. My daughter has gone door to door with leaflets, marched in parades, has been socially conscious throughout her life. They have really taken up the baton in a far more consistent way than I have, and I'm extraordinarily proud of them for what they've done.
Great stuff from Walter Koenig, as you can tell, as eloquent and sharp as ever. I want to recommend, it's getting great reviews, his book, Beaming Up and Getting Off, Life Before and Beyond Star Trek. Walter, congratulations, not just on a great career, but a great book as well. We really appreciate it, and hopefully we can catch up down the road.
That would be great. Thank you very much.
All right, great stuff. I'm Rick Tittle. We'll take a quick break, and we will come on back on Sports Byline.